The Raptors head coaching search continues with a familiar face. The NBA all teams are announced, and the Phoenix Suns got bounced from the playoffs in embarrassing fashion once again. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Noor Zainab. The rest of the crew is MIA on a Friday. It looks like a load management day, Noor, for them.
I do want to say that we should give a shout out to Karina Mustafa, who's at the practice facility for the W game right now. She's not slacking. She's there covering something. So if you're in Toronto, you got no plans. I believe there's a couple tickets still available on Ticketmaster, wherever you get your tickets from.
But buy me a ticket?
Check out the... Justin, it's not about you right now. Okay. Check out the W game tomorrow. I believe it's at 4 p.m. It's going to be one for the books, but let's throw it back to you, Justin.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for
anytime
shutting me down and getting a ticket for me. But anyway, let's go through the Toronto Raptors coaching search. We're going to talk about, of course, the All-NBA selections and the financial implications for a lot of players that are going to be affected. And, of course, the Phoenix Suns just got flat out embarrassed last night by the Denver Nuggets, getting eliminated again in two straight years in the second round. But first, let's start off with the Toronto Raptors, where we found out last time we recorded Hoop Talks that they had interviewed J.J. Redick for their next head coach. But that's kind of hit the skids a little bit. We don't know what's going on next. We found out that Masai and Bobby Webster were actually in Italy.
Yeah, interviewing someone that we already know,
Mr. Sergio Scariolo. Yes.
Said together. Jinx, yes. Maybe that's something. Maybe that brings them here.
Or you're just afraid that I was going to mess up because I messed up three times before we recorded this.
Audience, I felt like I should have taken over there. But
anyway. So yes, they went to go interview him in Italy at a place called the Majestic Hotel, which sounds very majestic. It was actually yesterday, the interview. Of course, Noor, he was the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors from 2018 to 2021. He is the national coach for the Spanish team, NBA champion, won all across Europe. What are your immediate thoughts on the Raptors potentially going to a previous assistant to fill in their new head coaching position?
I love it. I think it's one of the best. Well, I definitely like Becky Hammon there too, and I like the idea of adding Kenny Atkinson, but I think this for me makes so much sense. And I've been on the board and on the train of bringing someone like him over, because when you saw the Raptors in their offense from 2018 to 2021, it was phenomenal. It was all about ball movement. It was all about getting the ball in the right places, not even about giving it to the best player on the court, but figuring out how to get everybody involved by making plays and getting the spacing out there, getting guys to hit different shots. And that's what Sergio did with that roster. So he was a massive offensive weapon. He was really good for the Raptors' bench development as well. They were we had like, what, six-man Norman Powell coming off the bench. And that's, again, catering to what Sergio could do with that roster. And you also obviously have the familiarity with the organization, you know, Masai and Bobby. He's well-respected, not just within Toronto, but also completely Europe-wide. He's a champion there too. He's won the Italian Super Cup back to back in 2021, 2022. This was right around the time that he took over when he left the Toronto Raptors as well. And then he also won the Euro Cup in 2022. They qualified for Euro League for the first time in 14 years under him. So he's very well respected. Also was on, what's it called? Hustle? No.
The Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Where Raptors fans were all hyped that they got the main actor who didn't really play for
Juancho
the team.
Juancho Hernan Gomez.
What's his name?
He played.
I thought his name was Bo Cruz, man. Nobody was...
Doesn't... You're not... Like, I don't... I'm not going to play along today.
Okay.
Anyway, and he actually made an appearance on that movie as himself, as a coach of the international Spain soccer... soccer
Spain
team.
Spain soccer? Wow.
Spain basketball team.
Talking about people that up right now.
Spain. Sometimes I think soccer. It's not my fault. But... Again, like, he's familiar with the organization. He understands what is at cost, what they're looking forward to, what Masai's direction might be. And on top of that, as I said, it's the factor of getting our offense going. The Raptors' offense has been absolutely just in the dog water for the past couple seasons. And we need someone like him to come through who actually specializes in that level of game. And he's actually been the Toronto Raptors head coach for one game. Nick Nurse wasn't there.
That's when Kyle Lowry gave him the game ball after the game.
It was his game against the Houston Rockets. And we won that 122-111. So he actually already has a winning record as a Toronto Raptors head coach.
Yeah, one game.
don't care.
Hey, look, it's a winning record. Hey, it's a winning record. Look, you mentioned how he's a winner across the globe. Look, you mentioned even with the national team, he's won a silver medal in the Olympics. He's won a bronze medal, won the gold in the 2019 World Cup, a bunch of golds in the Euro Basketball Tournament, which we know has really increased the level of competition over the years. I think that what I really liked is what you mentioned about the ball movement and the European style of offense that they're running. We hear all these guys have said it's way harder to score in Europe than it is in the NBA because it's all ISO ball in North America, whereas in Europe they really focus and emphasize on teamwork and, you know, sharing the ball and creating open shots. And we know the Raptors struggled with that a lot because it looked like a lot of the times this year they didn't, the offense looked discombobulated, looked confused, didn't know what they were doing, and then they have to chuck up a shot at the last second of the shot clock, and more times than not it didn't go in. So I think that's something that's really key. The one thing that I think about with this hire would be, does this mean that a lot of the core pieces would stay together? Because he has prior history with Siakam, OG, Fred VanVleet. You know,
I wouldn't really think so, because like when he was there, the team also looked very different. Like, true. You had Gasol, you had Ibaka, you had Lowry, you had Norman Powell, you had Kawhi Leonard. So I don't think it would be a matter of like, what does the team look like if he takes on? It's more so the fact that he has a relationship with the organization, with Bobby Webster, with Masai Ujiri. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that would be beneficial and probably appealing on both sides, right? Like, you're for walking sure. into something that you already know.
Yeah, and again, I know a lot of the fan base wants them to hire from outside, don't want to hire from within. This is kind of a, it's kind of a tweener. Yes, he's been away from the organization for, what, a year or so, a year and a bit. But I think that might be enough time. But he is familiar with the players in there. Currently on FanDuel, they do not have his odds for there yet, as it just got announced. Becky Hammon, as you did mention, is still the favorite. Adrian Griffin, Kenny Atkinson, Jerry Stackhouse, Sam Cassell, and, of course, J.J. Redick round out some of the notable candidates still out there.
But of those, I actually really like Sergio. Like, I'm a huge fan of that.
I do too, right? I think that a guy who's been a winner across the globe, he's been a part of the championship contender, was a part of that culture that won a title, knows some of these players that are still around. I think that's a big thing that the Toronto Raptors will, you know, look forward to doing, because Masai talked about the culture, rebuilding it, you know, getting back to what they know, playing just basketball. It's enjoyable to watch. I think Sergio coming in, that could help bring that in. And I think just the international flavor, we know Toronto has brings a lot of international flavor when it comes to the Raptors. So
yeah,
that might be something that they do look at.
And I also wonder, like, having that international coming from a place like Europe and stuff, mm-hmm. like he's a coach in Spain and Italy and everything too. And they apply a different kind of mindset there. And I think if you see even players over here, like Luka, like Giannis. Jokic and stuff, Giannis, right? They're very, it's not going to be the same.
It's a different game in Europe.
Yeah, well, not even just the game, but I'm talking about like the leadership quality of it too, right? Like, I think in terms of what we saw with Nick Nurse, as great of a coach as he was, we saw a lot of problems in the locker room.
But we saw that this year, though, and I think
that was trickling over, though.
For
like
sure.
When you saw, well, those things are easily able to be swept under the rug if you're winning, and that's able to take care of that. But when you enter a season, and that's where honestly your job as a coach really steps up, when you enter a season and a bunch of contracts are up and a bunch of guys want to get paid, so now it's up to you to figure out how do you maintain those egos and everything else along with it too. And he didn't do his job there. I think Sergio is kind of like, he would understand the leadership aspect of how to lead those guys in the locker room and on the court.
I do want to defend Nick Nurse a little bit on that, because hear me out before you scoff at me like that. Hear me out first, okay? Look at the contract situation that the Raptors had this year, right? You have Fred VanVleet looking for a new deal, Gary Trent Jr. You have, you know, a guy like Pascal Siakam who depended on an all-NBA selection, could be eligible for a super max, right? You had the Scottie Barnes as the rookie. There's a lot of different things at play this year, right? Nick Nurse had been there for so long. You know how the Eagles were playing.
But that's your legit job.
I understand that, right? But also Nick Nurse was looking for a new deal himself, right?
That's selfish.
That's what I'm about. Okay, let me finish my point before you cut me off again, okay?
Right.
Can I finish?
Yes, go. Justin,
you sure?
Make it a show, yes.
This is a show, so I'm making it a show. Thank you. Anyway, a lot of guys wanted to get paid, including the head coach wanted to get paid this season, right? And it did not go anybody's way, right? They failed, right? They tried to go for it at the deadline. It did not work out. And now we're in a state where the Toronto Raptors, where you don't really know what's going to happen. Is Fred VanVleet going to stick around? Is Gary Trent going to stick around? Who from this other parts of the core, other than Scottie Barnes, is going to stick around? Who's going to be the head coach, right? And I think Nick Nurse's messaging ran stale in the locker room. I think after this year, people just kind of tuned him out because he's been there for so long. Right?
It wasn't because they tuned him out because he'd been there for so long. They tuned him out because he was calling them out to the media. And that's, again, like, I get what you're saying. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's not entirely on Nick Nurse alone whatsoever. Everybody faults blame for what happened to the Raptors this season. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Front office, Masai, bottom, Bobby Webster, the players, Nick Nurse, everybody. But let's, I think the move to fire him was the complete right move, because he had shown the past two seasons, as great as a coach as he is on court, you have to be a coach in the locker room too and understand how to deal with personalities. And to deal with that is not to go to the media and talk about how bad your players are, how much you wish they were played better, how much you wish you had better players on the roster, how much you wish that other players would step up compared to other players. And that's not something that's conducive to anybody and their mental game on the court. And that's why you lose the locker room. Like, let's say I'm here with you. After I leave here, I go on Instagram Live and I'm like, oh, that Justin, I wish we had a better show together. You're not gonna be happy with me. You're gonna be like, that's kind of like, I'd rather you have come to me. And who knows, that definitely, I think they definitely had conversations about them in private too, but it's the moment where those conversations are no longer private is when you lose the room. And that's where I think his coaching flaws really came in. Like, on the court, he's a great coach. Mm-hmm. On the locker room, that's a problem, and you got to be a good coach both ways.
I think, look, it was time for the divorce. It was time for it to happen. They did it, right? And now we'll see what, if they go proceed forward with Sergio Scariolo or they go forward with somebody else. The one criteria I do have for the Raptors head coach is you got to have somebody who, like you mentioned, commands respect in the locker room and across
and
the NBA.
And gives respect.
And give, again, it's give and take, right?
You said command, it's also give.
Yeah, but you just love cutting me off today, don't you?
I'm not cutting you off.
Yes,
I'm literally
talking to you
through the conversation. Okay. It's a conversation that we're having.
Anyway, let me finish with my point.
Put you in the hosting chair, and now you feel like you run this place in Studio One. It's not even true. Not even a little bit. Continue.
That's how I think. Producer Ellie is right. That's how I do think. Anyway.
Continue.
Let's go switch topics to the All-NBA selections that were announced, I believe, on Wednesday night, was it? And we haven't got a chance to talk about it. Of course, the All-NBA selections were announced. Some surprises, some not so many surprises. The first team, of course, was Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was a unanimous first-team all-selection. Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Canadian, the second Canadian behind Steve Nash to get such an honor. Luka Doncic, then the second team was Nikola Jokic, Donovan Mitchell, Steph Curry, all of that. Now, there was one notable omission from the Toronto Raptors that people might be kind of salty about. I don't know. I saw some things on Twitter. Pascal Siakam. He was left off an All-NBA team, of course. I think he averaged like 24 points, 8 rebounds or something like that. And this affects him a lot financially, Noor. And you know that I like to talk about money a lot. So it's actually reported that now Pascal Siakam, because he didn't make All-NBA, the Raptors can offer him a 4-year extension worth $192.2 million over the offseason rather than a 5-year $290.3 million. I'm no mathematician, but that's, you know, pretty close to $100 million difference right there for Pascal Siakam. So looking at that situation, do you think now this is an easier pill for the Raptors to swallow, so now they don't have to commit almost $300 million to Pascal Siakam, or even for another team that's potentially willing to package something up to trade for him?
Yeah, I think for the Raptors itself, like, it's bittersweet because, like, one of your players didn't make the All-NBA, but at the same time, it almost means that you don't have to pay him that big lump sum. So you're kind of sitting there wondering which glass you'd rather have from those two. But in terms of him deserving it, I think he deserved to be there because of the season that he had. Justin, don't make that face. The season that he had, like, the past couple of years, he's always improved his points per season. Every single year he's improved it. The past 2 years, let's go back to 2021, he averaged 21 points. Last year, 22 points. This year, 24 points. So he's always going up and improving his game. This year he had one of the best individual seasons the Raptors have seen, including Pascal Siakam for himself. But the downfall there, obviously, was the Raptors' record as a whole. If your team is losing, it's really tough to award someone on that roster. Only Damian Lillard was the only guy who was able to win something that wasn't a part of a playoff team. I think two other...
Luka Doncic as well. He was first team.
Oh, he was first team as well. Yeah, sorry. So Luka Doncic and Damian Lillard. I think the other two, they were maybe like two other players from playing in teams. But your record does factor in quite a bit when it comes to all these awards, just like MVP, just like DPOY, just like All-NBA. Like, all these things factor in. So as much as I would have loved to see him win that, I think it just, we all knew that it wasn't going to happen because it just, it's not the season for the Raptors.
Quite frankly, when I look at this situation with Pascal Siakam, how he did not get on All-NBA selection, I think this actually works very well for the Raptors because now they have a little bit more flexibility if they want to deal him, where teams would, that would acquire him, of course, they're not going to get his bird rights. But they can now be like, okay, look, like, we can now be it's more manageable, his cap hit would be to trade him away, and teams won't be so worrisome to, you know, acquire him. And I think for the Toronto Raptors, I would be very, very hesitant to offer Pascal Siakam a full 5-year, almost $300 million extension for a guy who's, you know, going to be getting up there in age. Yeah. I don't know if he's the guy you want to build around. We've already heard there's a lot of chatter.
It's
about
all about your direction of the team.
Exactly.
Too, right?
And we're going to find out with the new head coach and which players that the Raptors want to go forward with in that aspect. And I think, look, this, I think low-key Masai and Bobby are kind of happy that they don't have to pay him that much money, because that's a whole lot of dollars to dole out for a guy as your number one player, did not lead you anywhere, right?
Yeah, okay, continue.
Was I right?
I'm not going to say yes or no. Continue.
I'm just saying, look, the other thing I want to touch on is the Boston Celtics and their dynamic duo, and how now, since Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both made All-NBA first team and second team respectively, oh boy, they're in for a big payday. So according to Yahoo Sports, they're both eligible to sign Supermax deals. Brown is eligible this summer worth $295 million, where Tatum can sign a 5-year deal worth $318 million next season. Noor, that's like $613 million guaranteed. Now, they did win last night in a big game, a big game six. They were down. Jason Tatum was nowhere to be found until the fourth quarter, where he outscored the Philadelphia 76ers themselves. If they don't win this series against Philly and they lose in game seven, are you willing to shoot out $600 million to these two players if they cannot get back to the finals and they lost the NBA championship last year to the Golden State Warriors?
I think it's tough because, you know, it's almost just like it's the playoff thing, right? Because in the regular season, they're able to do whatever they're doing. That's the reason why they're able to get All-NBA. Like, they're on fire. They're both able to produce 30, 20-point games at the same time. But for some reason in the playoffs, it's almost as if they alternate halves. They alternate games. When Jaylen Brown's going off in the first half, Jason Tatum will have 0 points. But then he'll come through in the fourth. So I don't think it's anything to do with their lack of talent. At this point, you also can't say they have to grow up because they're at their peak right now, in my opinion. If anything, they have a couple years left there. So you're wondering how much deserving they could be for that money, right? Like, do you value the regular season or do you value the playoffs?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this team has been together for how many years? They've been to a bunch of Eastern Conference Finals, only one Finals appearance. And I think when I look at them, right, that's a whole lot of, and especially with the new luxury tax stuff coming in, you're going to be penalized even heavier now when it comes to spending over the cap. And I think that's a whole lot of money for a core that might have capped out last year, right? Which is the finals. And look, we've heard Jaylen Brown talk about how he doesn't really like being in Boston that much. The Boston crowd is still not, very receptive to Jaylen Brown.
I
see this game seven between the Celtics and 76ers being the pivot between whether, okay, we're going to go this way, right? If we win, we'll see where it goes, how the playoffs finish. But if we lose, there's going to be some difficult decisions in Boston where we want to give them the money, right? But I just think we have to pick one or the other because that's a whole lot of money to do it for the guys that, you know, again, two guys making that much money, that over max, super max money, excuse me, right?
Yeah.
It hampers what about Brogdon, Derek White, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, Al Horford, if he's still around, Marcus Smart, right? You have to start making decisions on what happens for the rest of that roster when you have two guys making that much money.
It sucks because, like, any other team would be killing the chance to have the Jays on their roster, right? And even for the Jays, you're like, where else would you go contend? But the Celtics, like, yeah, you could go to maybe, you know, teams that are in the threshold of playoff races and stuff, but you're somewhere where you're destined to go, not destined, but you're supposed to go to the finals or at least the Eastern Conference Finals every single year. So do you get into a position that's better for you? But at the same time, how much are you producing on the court in the playoffs? So I don't know. I think that's a very tough place to be, because then they got to decide, do you want to keep Tatum or Brown? Do you want to keep regular season or the playoffs? But who do you surround these guys with as well? Because you need to have multiple players on the team to make something. You can't just have one guy.
And I think last night, like, again, we see Jaylen Brown really assert himself in the first half of games, but then he kind of steps away in the fourth quarter.
They always alternate. And it's like, imagine if both of them were going off at the same. This series should have been over in max five, you know, had they both been going off. Think about it. Like, had Jason Tatum been playing the games that he plays, like in the second half, so throughout the whole entire game, this is an easy win for the Celtics. And they've been playing with their food the entire way through. But the problem is, when they're hitting their shots, they're not hitting them. When they're supposed to be getting the offense going, they're not doing anything. It's jack up threes, no plays, no movement, and it's a killer for any team trying to win something in the playoffs, especially against guys like James Harden and Embiid, who understand how to make their own shots and make you suffer if you can't make your shots.
Absolutely, and I think we're gonna see what happens on Game 7 between these two teams and these two teams that are in very interesting positions. But let's finish off Hoop Talks talking about the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, boy.
Embarrassing finish from the Phoenix Suns. They lost 125-100. It was pretty much over at halftime. I turned it off after halftime. I did not care to see it. Devin Booker didn't care to talk to the media. He left right away. Again, they were without DeAndre Ayton, without Chris Paul. The excuses are there. Devin Booker had, 12 points. KD had 23 points. Monty Williams did say that Devin Booker was dealing with something. I think when he fell in game five, his efficiency is kind of... So he's dealing with something. Yeah. Maybe there was an injury there we don't know about. But man, back-to-back years.
Honestly, this is exactly what happens when you acquire talent.
But is this on Kevin Durant? Are you trying to put this on Kevin Durant right now?
Am I saying it's on Kevin Durant? Okay. It's on the team itself. It's on the organization. Okay. To go and gut your roster to get someone like Kevin Durant on your team. Mm-hmm. Now, you're top four heavy, which is fine in the playoffs. It's okay. But you got to now stay healthy. And you're relying on 38-year-old Chris Paul to be healthy the entire series. You're relying on DeAndre Ayton, who has a history of injuries, to be healthy the entire series.
And just not showing up.
And also, if Chris Paul's not there, DeAndre Ayton is absolutely ineffective because he needs a competent point guard that knows how to feed DeAndre Ayton, because DeAndre Ayton can't do that on his own. Only Chris Paul can help Ayton be who Ayton is. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Yep. So now you're looking at Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Cam Payne had to come through and give you 30 points.
When Cam Payne shoots 16 times a game, that's not good. Hey, but credit Cam Payne.
That's your
he was 12 for 16 from the field last night.
No, it's fantastic, but that's not going to win you the game.
No.
That's your fifth best player. And as great as that game was, you clearly need more depth than that. And that's honestly why, like, I feel like you want to make the playoffs for sure as a team, and you want to bring someone like Kevin Durant on. But when the Raptors were looking to, and he was available and we could have traded for him, we knew that you'd be gutting your entire roster. Like, they don't even have any first round picks available anymore for trades. They gave away four and a pick.
When I look at the Phoenix Suns, right? Yes, you talked about how they have no more. They gave away Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, first round picks, all of that stuff. I think they had an out this year. This is kind of because Kevin Durant came in. He was injured, came back for the playoffs. The chemistry wasn't there. We saw flashes of it, him and Booker just lighting it up during this playoffs, right? Chris Paul's gone. He's out. And there's already reports coming out of Phoenix that they're going to actively shop Chris Paul. They're going to try to get rid of him. I see DeAndre Ayton.
He must be gone with
him. I think the Suns are going to try to trade DeAndre Ayton, right? I don't see a formula for the Phoenix Suns with DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul back in the desert come September. I do not see it, right? They need to get another guard in, another point guard in. And I honestly think Fred VanVleet is the perfect choice for the Phoenix Suns. I would love to see Fred VanVleet play with the Phoenix Suns. I think Fred VanVleet alongside Kevin Durant and Devin Booker would be an elite trio in the Western Conference.
Yeah, but it's only one ball. And I know Fred VanVleet can't
But that's the thing. It puts Fred VanVleet in a position where, you know,
he has to play point guard, though.
But here's the other thing, too. The defenses are going to be so focused on Booker and KD. That's going to leave Fred VanVleet with a lot of open shots. And we know when he's shooting and he gets open shots, he makes them more often than he misses
them,
right?
But also, that's a really good defensive end for you because he's one of the best point guard defenders in the league. So it definitely opens the room for you, but it I think it helps you more defensively than they would realize, and that would be a big help, obviously.
Yeah.
I
I think
it would be. It'd be. I see why it could be good.
He's a shorter guard.
I think it just depends, though. Like, you're going to need him to be consistent, and you need him to be a point guard first, so pass first. If you have guys like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker on your team, you're going to have to learn to pass first and shoot first.
I think, look, if the Phoenix Suns can get off Chris Paul's deal, I think he's making $30 million, whatever. And if they can get Fred VanVleet for a similar price range, a younger player with more term and more control, right? And we know that, yeah, Fred VanVleet is not as prickly as Chris Paul is. And I think that could be something that could really, and I think, if I can't remember, Kevin Durant spoken glowingly about Fred VanVleet's game before.
Yeah,
I think Fred VanVleet is a well-respected player, you know, across the many league circles. I think Fred VanVleet.
But so wait, are you saying we got Chris Paul?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if the Suns can
hold on.
No, I didn't say that. I said if the Suns can offload Chris Paul's contract to somebody else. If I'm a side, I'm not touching Chris Paul.
No,
right?
You're not touching Chris Paul.
But Fred VanVleet's a free agent though, right? So that's what I'm saying.
You can sign and trade him though.
You could.
But then you don't want to get Chris Paul back. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm going to say if they can find some sucker or some dummy team, to maybe the Rockets will take Chris Paul's salary on.
I just don't see how the Raptors are in that. Sorry, I was thinking from the Suns' point of view for the whole time, and I'm like, yeah, it's great for the Suns. I get it. But I'm like, we're going to let him walk? No, you sign and trade his ass this summer if you're going to let him walk before that.
No. Okay, I'm saying Chris Paul. The Chris Paul thing is separate from Fred VanVleet.
I know, but you're talking in a world where like the Raptors just let him walk. Right, and I don't think
they
the Raptors
can.
Let him walk. So,
Fred VanVleet's in control, though. He could be. I won't go to Phoenix regardless, right? And the Raptors, okay, can we do a sign and trade? If it doesn't work out, the sign and trade, right? Fred VanVleet.
But would you do a sign and trade with the Phoenix Suns, who have no first round picks to offer either?
That's a risk that Masai had to take by not trading anybody beforehand, right?
Yeah, but then you can send him off to freaking, like, if you're doing that just to make the Suns better, you can send him off to the Magic.
But
they can't get more stuff back.
They can't. No, the Raptors can't send Fred VanVleet anywhere.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean,
he decides where he wants to go, right?
If he wants to go to Phoenix,
he's going to Phoenix, right? Because he's a free agent. He's not under contract, right? If he wants to do the Raptors a solid and be like, hey, I'm going to go to Phoenix. If you want to work out a sign and trade, work it out with Phoenix. Well, if not, I'm just going to go there, right? And then that's the situation, right? Again, does that mean the Raptors might have to take on Chris Paul's salary and then buy him out, right? If I'm a side, right? If I can get more assets from the Phoenix Suns, again, you know,
but they only have, look at their roster right now.
If you could get, I don't know,
there's nothing really you would want.
But what I'm saying is, right, if you could extract something out of the Phoenix Suns, right, in a sign and trade, then do it. But
I just hope for
again,
family,
we don't, we're not
Suns.
GMs in the front office, but I think two things are for certain with the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul's gone, and DeAndre Ayton, they're going to do whatever they can to get off of his deal because, quite frankly, he's been a bust.
But they could be in a world where they let go of DeAndre Ayton but keep Chris Paul for maybe one more year. Because, as you said, like, they haven't, like, I believe that too. I don't think it's fair, or maybe not fair, but I don't think, like, I think they've bought themselves one more year, the Phoenix Suns, with Kevin Durant, just because he was at it at the trade deadline, right?
He's always hurt. Why would you, like, I would not want Chris Paul back, because every time come playoff time, he's going to get hurt, right? I just wouldn't want him to go younger, and I think Fred VanVleet is the perfect fit, and I think DeAndre Ayton, I could totally see him in Dallas.
I hope Fred VanVleet doesn't listen to this, because I don't...
Fred, listen to
don't
me.
Don't put us in that position,
go to
Fred,
Phoenix,
please.
Go to the desert.
Go to Orlando. Let's bring Suggs.
Why do you want Jalen Suggs?
I want a point guard. I want a competent point guard. Defensive point guard, too. Come on now.
Whatever. Anyway, all of this stuff in the offseason will take place once the NBA Finals have been announced. We're almost near the NBA Finals. Almost near the conference finals should be announced.
It's like a month out, but yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Well, once these conference finals get finished. It could be a couple Game 7s on Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see if the Warriors and the Knicks can force Game 7s. We'll be back on Monday for another edition of Hoop Talks, where we break all the craziness for the Toronto Raptors and the NBA down. Take care.